Everyone.
Good morning.
Before we begin today's call, we have a motion for admission to the bar. If Ms. Dahl would please come to the podium. And I have the honor of making this particular motion, Judge Bauer and Judge Rovner. I have the honor of moving the admission to the bar of this court today of Ms. Jane Dahl. Who is a member of the bar of the state of Indiana and has served as my law clerk throughout this past year and indeed has served the court with distinction. She holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from Hanover College in Hanover, Indiana, and received her law degree last year from the University of Notre Dame. She will be leaving the court soon and becoming associated with the law firm of Baker & Daniels in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so, with great pride, I do move for admission to the bar of the court.
Which one of us will accept it and which one will dissent? Motion is granted on this.
Not this one.
Do you dissent? Motion is granted. We're pleased to grant it. Welcome to the group. And you have a splendid sponsor.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
Step over, he'll give you.
Now we can turn to the call of the morning, and the first case is number 03-4142, Kramer against the Village of North Fond du Lac.
Your Honors, good morning. May it please the Court, I'm David Lasker, representing the appellant, plaintiff appellant, Carl Kramer. The facts of this case, when reasonably construed in a light favorable to Mr. Kramer, demonstrate that Police Chief Wodak deliberately deceived Kramer and the other tavern owners for the purpose of and with the effect of depriving them of their livelihoods. Wodak also deliberately deceived the prosecutor and the circuit court for the purpose of and with the effect of selectively prosecuting Kramer.
Well, before we whip into selective prosecution, your client was in violation of Wisconsin law, was he not?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Well, what's his beef?
His beef is that he would not have been in violation of the law.
Well, wait. They would change the law for him, or is it a...
No. The law would remain the same. His behavior would not have been the same. He would have removed the machine or not made payouts on it.
Somebody told him he could violate the law and he believed it? That's the theory?
Well, yes, it is. When somebody is the chief of police and his...
The chief of police can't change the law. All he can do is enforce it.
The enforcement policy, Your Honor, is really the critical question because the law in Wisconsin did not change. It was merely clarified by the state court in State versus Hahn in January of 1996.
Does Kramer claim that Chief Wodak made any affirmative assurances about the legality of the machines after the Hahn decision came down?
Yes. There were times after July of 1996, where he continued to maintain.
Well, the chief told Kramer that he could do what he was doing.
The chief told other tavern owners, knowing that Kramer was a part of this tight-knit group of tavern owners, that the use of the machines was all right.
So he didn't take the word of Kramer, he took the word of other tavern owners.
Yes, but there's no question of fact that the tavern owners were telling him what they had just heard from the police.
People hear what they want to hear. I mean, the chief won't bother us, is what they said, essentially. We've been doing it this way for years. It attracts tourists. We want it. An interesting aspect.
Your Honor, the affidavits are...
I've seen that. I've read the affidavits, and we still boil down to the bottom line is your client was violating the law.
But he would not have been, but for the deceptive action
of
Wodak.
He would not have violated the law if he knew it was a violation of the law. No matter what Kramer did or didn't do, he knew it was a violation of the law.
Well, in fact, he didn't because he was relying upon the representations of the police chief.
He affirmatively will say that he did not know, and you will tell me now, as an officer of this court, that your client was unaware of the fact that what he was doing was a violation of Wisconsin law.
He was unaware of it.
Is that your representation to me?
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor.
Your client didn't know that what he was doing, the gambling laws, did not apply to him.
That is correct, Your Honor, because of the deceptions of the police chief.
Look, and let's say that Kramer had been involved in drug trafficking, but the chief of police had given him a, you know, a sort of a wink and a nod and let him know he would look the other way. Would Kramer really have a claim for entrapment if he were subsequently arrested?
I don't think so in that fact situation.
Well, what is different here? Kramer admits that he knew about the letter, and therefore he clearly knew that paying out for winning video games was illegal shortly after September 2nd of 1996, yet he continued to engage in the same practices. What would the difference be?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, I must point out that Kramer does not admit that he knew the contents of the letter. He knew that some letter had been sent by the prosecuting attorney to other tavern owners.
Well, did he make any inquiries or take any steps to find out whether or not he was committing any crimes?
Yes, he did. He talked to the police officers who came into his tavern and asked them whether there was any problem with those machines, and they continued to say that there was not. At the time that they were investigating the alleged criminal conduct, I might add, the difference too, Your Honor, if I may say so, is that a wink and a nod is not the situation that we have here. A wink and a nod would say to me, at least, that he was in cahoots with Kramer. That's not the situation. He was representing himself as the chief of police, informing the community of the enforcement practices that affected them. The actions of Wodak did result in a selective prosecution in two respects. First of all, Mr. Kramer was the only tavern owner in Fond du Lac County who was prosecuted for an act of alleged wrongdoing prior to the Hahn decision. One of the counts with which he was charged on the basis of Wodak's actions was a count that predated the Hahn decision, when there's no dispute in this record that prosecutors in Wisconsin were not prosecuting this kind of offense. Because
but I don't
unclear.
Think there's any question. It was still a violation of the law whether the prosecutors undertook to prosecute or not.
The
law didn't change.
The prosecution policy changed with respect to the law, because the law that had been unclear and accepted as being unclear was finally clarified by the Court of Appeals in July of 96.
I don't know who it was unclear to. It's pretty easy to read.
The conduct of the chief of police does shock the conscience and was a denial of substantive due process of law. This case is similar.
Forgive me.
Sure.
I hate to interrupt like that, but is it your view that Chief Wodak or the district attorney was required to inform citizens of updates in the law?
I believe that Wodak was, clearly, and that's the important thing here.
Look, even if they've given out information in the past that subsequently becomes outdated, they don't have the responsibility to run from tavern to tavern and say, look, here's the law, here's the law, here's the law. That you could never put that kind of a burden on the police chief.
In this case, Your Honor, respectfully, you can, because he had told the tavern owners that if the enforcement policy were to change, if the law on the subject of what they were doing were to change, he would let them know. He said that to them repeatedly, and various people who heard him say that to them have affidavits in the record. So I submit that did give
now,
rise
to
that.
Did that occur before or after the court decision?
Both. Before and after the court decision.
Kramer knows about this letter, as Brother Bauer said. Kramer knows about this letter. So even if we take everything that you say as true, the letter creates a new playing field, doesn't it?
It doesn't, because the letter was not sent to Kramer, and the tavern owners, it was not sent to any tavern owner in the village of North Fond du Lac, and Wodak knew that, but even with knowledge of that, made no effort to clarify to the people within his jurisdiction, as he had promised them that he would. And the fact that a letter had gone out from the prosecutor, in fact from the DA and the sheriff, to tavern owners in the county, was the subject that was abuzz. But Kramer, as he says in his affidavit, believed that if there was a change of prosecution policy, that he would have been one of the recipients, along with the other people who received it. There was no knowledge as to why some people in the county got it and some others didn't. Long after the fact, it's become clear that the DA and the sheriff only sent letters to those tavern owners in jurisdictions where the primary police force was the sheriff's department, so that incorporated villages like North Fond du Lac were not included. But
the ramifications of what the sheriff and the prosecutor said it is that if the village authorities or city authorities fail to enforce the law, they themselves would be in violation of the law and in jeopardy. What you're suggesting is the chief of police, being well aware of the fact that the county prosecutor intended to proceed, and he doesn't participate in the enforcement of the law, which is his sworn duty, that he himself has violated the law. That's what you're asking us to say, too.
Well, Your Honor, I'm asking you to say that when Wodak withholds and deceives the prosecutor as to what the facts are regarding the information that he is providing the prosecutor for purposes of prosecution, that was a...
He's supposed to have told the prosecutor that I've already told them they could go ahead and violate the law.
Exactly, Your Honor. Yes, I've already told them what I've told them.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would, if I may, reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Lasker. We'll hear now from Mr. Bittar.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ramsey Bittar. I represent Larry Wodak in the village of North Fond du Lac. The partner I work with, Ray Pollan, is in the back, and I'd like to respond now to some of the contentions that were recently raised. First thing I would like to have this court be aware of is the fact that Wodak and Kramer never talked, ever. It's not in the record anywhere. They never talked about any of the allegations that Kramer seems to be raising now. While he may have talked with some of the other tavern owners in the city, he did tell them that payouts were not permissible, and I'd like to make that clear. As far as for whether Kramer's behavior would have changed, I don't think it would have. I don't think he ever evidenced a reluctance to stop receiving financial gain from these gambling machines.
Is there anything in the record that indicates why Chief Wodak opted not to send a letter to the tavern owners in North Fond du Lac to give them the same kind of warning that their colleagues in other parts of the county got?
It's yes and no answer. Really, there's nothing in the record other than his own testimony in which he says that he never participated in the sending of that letter on September 2nd, 1996. He did not confer with Prosecutor Storm and the Fond du Lac County Sheriff. He never participated in sending that letter. He did not know about that letter until it eventually did come out.
So, in other words, did the law enforcement officers in, like, Ripon or Waupun or Campbell's Court, did they issue warnings to the tavern owners?
The warnings came in the September 2nd letter, and that letter only went to unincorporated municipalities. The villages, an incorporated municipality, it has its own police force, and that's why the letter was not sent. And that is in the record. It's in Prosecutor Storm's affidavit. And that's the type of information that was not put before the proceedings in State versus Kramer. a point that I highlighted in our brief. As for his conduct not changing, evidencing any reluctance under his entrapment theory, there was never any reluctance on his part. For 6 months after the Hahn decision, he continued to operate these machines. And even before that September 2nd, 1996 letter came out, that letter itself indicated that the Attorney General's policy of the state of Wisconsin was to treat these machines as unlawful gambling machines. So even before that letter came out, there was awareness that this was a hot topic. And indeed, Kramer admitted that this was a hot topic, both in his deposition and during his trial testimony. During his trial testimony, he indicated that he was aware that there was an issue with these machines. And so did Carol Van Norman, who was also prosecuted along with him during these criminal trials back in 1996. Kramer was not selectively prosecuted. Under the equal protection claim that he's trying to make, he needs to show both discriminatory purpose and discriminatory effect, and I don't think he can show either. There were 8 taverns in the village. All 7 or 8 of them were investigated. Criminal complaints were issued against each owner and each bartender in those establishments. Some of them pled guilty, and as I said, both Kramer and Carol Van Norman were prosecuted together for these crimes. As for whether or not Wodak would have let them know whether there would have been a change in policy, I think that's just speculation and hearsay again. Again, as I said at the top of my argument, Kramer and Wodak never spoke. And there's no authority that's offered by the plaintiff in this case that Wodak had to sit down and write the tavern owners about changes in policy or legal issues. There's no authority for that.
You know, you make a claim that the self-serving affidavits that were submitted by Kramer are insufficient to defeat summary judgment. But I don't understand that argument, because under the summary judgment standard, we have to take the facts that are asserted by Kramer as true, provided they're based on personal knowledge and otherwise meets the usual evidentiary requirements. Kramer submitted several affidavits from persons who claimed to have firsthand knowledge of what Chief Wodak said about these machines. Well, why would you think those affidavits weren't sufficient?
Well, you have to be very careful as you sift through those affidavits. Collectively, they rely upon each other and what each other said or heard. So there's a lot of hearsay in there. There's also a lot of speculation. In a lot of instances, there's also lack of personal knowledge about certain events. And you're right, though. On summary judgment, we have to take favorable inferences in favor of the plaintiff, and I agree with that. But nonetheless, he has no case because there's key pitfalls in his case. For instance, he and Kramer never talked. Another evidentiary pitfall in this case is that he was aware of the September 2nd letter. So nonetheless, his case is very difficult to prove, as I pointed out in our brief. And I think, as I pointed out in our brief, that his case really does not fit very comfortably with the selective prosecution type cases, the entrapment cases. More than anything, I thought his pleadings could be liberally construed as something under Esmail or Albiero, but there again, we don't see the facts that rise to the level of a spiteful effort to get Kramer, a vindictive campaign against him.
You know, if you run out of things to say, there's no constitutional requirement for you to stand there.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to make sure that I've covered the key points that may be outside of our brief.
Mr. Bittar, the district court wrote a fairly lengthy opinion
yes.
in this case. Is there any part of that opinion with which you take issue?
No, I found that the opinion was thoughtfully decided by Judge Griesbach. It touched upon all the issues. It noted the evidentiary pitfalls in this case and the inability of him to make a prima facie case. The one thing that I'm not sure whether the district court discussed was the fact that plaintiff in this case makes a big deal of the fact that he won before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And as we pointed out in our response brief, we were really not a party to that. And a lot of issues were not fully litigated, such as the fact that the September 2nd letter did not go to incorporated municipalities, such as the village. And also the fact that almost every tavern owner and bartender in the village of North Fond du Lac was prosecuted.
And I was Fond du Lac for a while and asked, did the sheriff raid any of the places outside in the unincorporated areas or incorporated?
No, the sheriff, Chief Wodak and the police department have no authority outside of the village of
Fond du Lac. I understand. I said, did the sheriff, not the, did the sheriff raid any places on his own?
I believe in our brief in support of summary judgment, we may have noted one bar that was raided, and I'm sorry that I can't recollect fully.
But the sheriff did it.
Yeah, I can't.
The sheriff has authority in the city of Fond du Lac as well.
Your Honor, I'm not sure about that.
Well, take my word for it. The sheriff has got countywide authority.
Okay.
He can raid any place he wants.
Okay.
If the chief of police, the whole police department dropped dead, the sheriff could run, could enforce the law on the county.
Yes, you are correct.
Yes.
And that actually leads to another point that I wanted to make, was that Chief Wodak was not personally involved in the day-to-day activities of this investigation, such as procuring the warrants, appearing before the judge in that case to have the warrants issued. So again, he was a supervisory authority who initiated, who had his officers initiate this investigation as a result of some of the concerns of citizens in the community that there was a lot of unlawful gambling going on, and he delegated his task out to his subordinates. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Bittar. Sir, you have 4 minutes left.
Mr. Lasser, you have no doubt that the sheriff had jurisdiction in the city, do you?
None. That's one of the reasons why.
Hold on. Let me take the next step. If the sheriff had raided your place instead of the chief of police, would you have a cause of action, do you think?
Yes, because he didn't try to inform the people in North
Carolina. So it is your position that the sheriff has the duty to inform the people in the community that he is now going to enforce the law.
When it is, it's not that he's now going to enforce the law, it's that the law has been clarified, and as clarified,
it was always my impression that you were supposed to be alert to the changes in the law yourself. You didn't have to wait to be told by the sheriff that there was a law.
Well, but that is...
Is he required to notify them of any changes the legislature might make in their law?
No.
Why? Well, what's the difference?
The difference is that he has made clear to the public what his enforcement policies
are. We're talking
about
the sheriff. We're not talking about the chief of police. We're talking about the sheriff.
The sheriff has done that, too. That's
and
why he turned in the letter.
The sheriff has told your client and your clients and people in this position that this is legal and we will not do anything about what you're doing.
It was their well-known policy for years, Your Honor. And when Mr. Bittar talks about what a hot topic it was in Wisconsin, there was a disagreement between the Attorney General of Wisconsin and prosecutors in the various counties around Wisconsin. And the hot topic was finally addressed in the Hahn decision, which, as you might imagine, was a widely publicized decision on the front page of every newspaper in the state, because there was finally a judicial clarification of the situation that had been very confusing to everybody. The chief certainly was in charge. The record construed fairly in favor of Kramer would make it clear that that he was in charge, both in terms of the statutory authority that's quoted in our reply brief and in terms of his deposition testimony, where he literally said that the buck stopped here. It was his job to manage the entire operation, even though he sent subordinates to go get the search warrant. It certainly was an extension of his work. It's true that Wodak did not talk directly to Kramer, but again, interpreting the evidence fairly, there's plenty of evidence to show that this tight-knit group was talking to each other constantly about what they were learning, and also that Chief Wodak knew and relied upon the fact that they were a tight-knit group. There is evidence of reluctance on Kramer's part. He kept asking the police repeatedly whether there was any problem with the machines, and did so particularly after the Hahn decision had come down. Our theory of the case, I think, needs to be made perfectly clear at this point, if there's any question about it. I think that our strongest argument is the denial of substantive due process. Rather than try to fit this into the pigeonhole of the law of entrapment or the pigeonhole of the law of selective prosecution, into which we respectfully submit it would fit, there's no question that for a police chief to purposely deceive the citizens, purposely deceive the prosecutor, and purposely deceive the circuit court is something that shocks the conscience. All eight tavern owners were prosecuted, but in the village of North Fond du Lac, but others were not. I believe that the one that may have been prosecuted was not in the county of Fond du Lac, that is to say, was in an incorporated village.
The reason why you have such a difficult road to hoe here, Mr. Lasker, is that it's very hard to argue that the chief of police of North Fond du Lac selectively prosecuted only the tavern owners in North Fond du Lac, because those were the only taverns he had jurisdiction over.
Yes, but he knew that they would be the only taverns in the county of Fond du Lac that were going to be prosecuted, and that was his purpose.
Because they're the only taverns.
They're not the only taverns, Your Honor, in the county
in
of
North,
Fond du Lac.
No, but in North Fond du Lac, in the town.
In the town, yes,
right.
But in the county where the prosecutor has authority, they were singled out selectively. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lasker. The case will be taken under advisement.